is the home of the 80s and 90s Ireland's classic hits radio. You know who I am, and you also know who our next guest is. He recently joined the Sixth Floor, just celebrated his 60th birthday. Bob Barrett, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you for remembering that. That's really lovely.
I don't seem to remember, though, getting an invite in the post to a party or...
Listen, I haven't had a party yet. I haven't had a party.
Right. Okay.
Because I'm unsure, and because it's all happening so fast, I thought if I do one, I might have one later on, but I don't know if I will. I'm not a party kind of guy in that kind of way.
Let the cat out of the bag by revealing your age? Because when you want to go parts now that where you play a 35-year-old, you're not going to get away with it. I've ruined your career.
That ship has sailed. That ship has definitely sailed. I'm more likely to get something in my 70s now than I would have.
Playing the granddad, the great-great-granddad.
Playing the granddad, exactly. Especially with his moustache.
Now, I don't know if our listeners remember, but about 2.5 years ago, Bob very kindly came on the show and we spoke in depth about him playing Dr. Sasha in Holby City. Do you remember our conversation, Bob?
I do remember that. I'll never forget that conversation. I love that chat with you about that. It was so brilliant. So lovely.
He said I was his favourite interviewer ever in his entire career.
You were, mate. You are. I think you're amazing. And I love being interviewed by you. Oh, it's true. It's absolutely true.
Yeah. Well, I suppose the real reason that we have you on today, Bob, is because, you know, Derek Thompson, the actor who plays Charlie in Casualty, and we're looking for his phone number. He couldn't give it to us, could you?
Oh, God. Have you not tried him? Have you not been able to get a hold of him?
Do you know what? I wouldn't know how to get him. How would you even get him? You need to put me in touch.
I don't know. I know him because I worked on and off with him a bit. I haven't seen him since he left. Obviously, he left Casualty because the last time I saw him, I did a Casualty episode with him. And it was about a year before he left the show. So I don't know where he is because he had a flat near Casualty, near where they film it in Cardiff. So he might be in Cardiff, but he might also be, he's got another place somewhere else. So I think he's probably just... I picture him in his living room now, just strumming that guitar, playing his guitar, writing songs, singing songs.
You're going to have to, Bob, now up your game and start stalking him for me so that I can get him on the show.
Stalking him for me? I'll give it my damnedest.
Watch Baby Reindeer, get into character and go for it.
Baby Reindeer. My God, Baby Reindeer, yes. No, I still haven't seen it. I should see it, really.
I just came across a Bob Barrett Instagram fan page. Are you aware that this exists?
Oh, I am aware of it. I don't do social media, but someone told me, and I know who it is. Well, she's wonderful. She's a huge Holby fan, and I think the world of her, and she's lovely, and she might be, I think she's going to come and see the show this week. She'll come and see the show. Oh. And yes, I'm very touched. I'm very, very touched, but I've never seen it.
121 followers, Bob. 121 followers.
Well,
where did you get it?
There we are, 121. You can't get fairer than that. Well, I don't, because I don't do any of it. I don't do any. Everyone keeps telling me, oh my God, you should do Instagram because, you know, you'll get a following. But
you don't care?
Well, I do. I care. Enormously. I care about the fans. What I love is my version of social media is meeting people. So when they come up to me in the street or they come and see a show and everything, I'll talk to them for ages about the show and everything because I'm, you know, that's what I do, which is much better than I'm just no good. I know I'll be like, it'll be another thing I don't do.
Another thing on the list
like
that will never get
touch.
Done.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Come here. We did speak before about when you were Dr. Sasha in Holby City. And how people think that you're really a doctor. So I assume that you've completed your training now at this stage. I did send you a picture there of a health issue that I'm going through at the moment.
And I just wondered if
you could give me a diagnosis on it. Because I'm going to be waiting in A&E for at least 36 hours. So,
well, you are. Yeah. I believe it's something to do with your nails. Is that right?
Yes, my fingernails. Yeah.
So what can you tell me about what's wrong with your nails at the moment? Can you tell me anything?
Just that it doesn't look the way it would normally look. That's as much detail as I can give you for today.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
What would the diagnosis be?
Well, it's hard because obviously my expertise was the bowel. I became an expert. I became a professor in treating people's bowels. So obviously nails aren't my expertise, but what I do know about nails is it can be very, very painful. So I think you should get to A&E as soon as possible. I really do. Because I mean, if you were with me now, I would obviously try and maybe clip your nails or just maybe put some ointment on them. I've got this special ointment, which I can put on nails. which is very good. But if it gets worse, I think you need to go to A&E, honestly. Okay. I'll do what I can. If you come to Holby, it's much more helpful because I know people at Holby and I can get you diagnosed. But,
yeah. So basically, you've just charged me £100 for a diagnosis of a broken nail.
No, because I...
Actually, you didn't even diagnose that.
I was pure NHS. I never did private stuff. Me and Rick Griffin were very much never people who involved ourselves with private doctors. We were always National Health. Very, very proud of that we were.
So a broken nail is what I have, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know whether I can come to work for the rest of the week. By the way, a lot of people don't realise this, that Holby City and Casualty were actually the same hospital, different departments.
Yes.
Matt!
Yes. It was an interesting, but it did, I mean, it worked. We did crossovers. And so, yes, so basically when you come at the A&E department was Casualty, and then you go up one floor and you go into I can't remember the floor now, hang on. You go into the next floor and then you get the real doctor. It's this typical doctor, you don't even remember the floors below you. Then you go to Keller, which is my ward, and then you go to Darwin, which is the heart. So stomach down is Keller and heart up is Darwin. So that's where Rosa, that's where Jack Naylor was. Basically, Jack Naylor was in there and I was in Keller and Henrik Hansen just floated around because he ran the hospital. So yes. So I never went down. I went down a bit to the floor below. And then I had a crossover with Casualty. That's right. And then we did a little bit of crossover malarkey. I was also in a blues band with Charlie Fairhead and Elliot Hope, which never actually surfaced. But I had an episode where I talked about my blues band, the blues band that the three of us had.
Wow.
But there was never an app where the three of us played together. I think there should have been. I think that would have been amazing.
I mean, there's still
me and
time.
Charlie
there's
and, still and time. Elliot playing. still
Do you know, I do feel now, Bob, that you're obsessed with Colleen Rooney, because the last time you were in town you were doing a Wag of the Christie. Now you're doing another Wag of the Christie. Do you remember we were saying that? You kept calling it Wag of the Christie. I was like, Bob, it's an Agatha Christie play, not a Wag of the Christie.
Can't say Wagatha. I did say Wagatha. You can't say Wagatha. You have to say Agatha, because yes. That was her name. Her name is Agatha. Not Colleen Rooney. Although there might be a Marple one year, and maybe she could play Marple, Colleen Rooney. I mean, it would get a lot of publicity. It'd be amazing, actually. So possibly.
So the last time you were in town, you were doing an Agatha Christie play.
Yeah,
I was. You're doing one again at the Gaiety.
I'm doing another one. It's my third in Dublin, my third on tour. And obviously, I always say, because Dublin is always, and I know everyone says, oh, you say all that, but Dublin, we have the best reaction ever in Dublin. Dublin is an incredible reaction. When we opened with An Enema Nun, we had such an extraordinary reaction. We were thinking, oh, the whole tour is going to be like this. It's going to be marvellous. And no one ever responded as well as Dublin. So I said,
we were saying at the time,
crowd.
Bob, do you remember we were saying at the time, everyone thinks that they're going to see a play about Rebecca Vardy and Colleen Rooney.
Now that I'd see. I'd love to be in that play. It should be a musical.
But that's not what
Wagatha
it is.
Wagatha exclamation mark.
The one that you actually are doing in Dublin is Death on the Nile.
It's Death on the Nile. Yeah. Yes. Very exciting. It's very good production. It's wonderful. And it's very different from the book and the film, all the films and the books, but it's not that different. I mean, it's still basically the same thing. I always loved the Peter Ustinov film, you see, with Bessie Davis and with Maggie Smith, you know, and Simon McCorkindale of Casualty fame playing the baddie. Yes. And that's the first time I ever saw him act, I think, on that film. But he was beloved. He was a beloved Casualty character with Simon McCorkindale, which is lovely. But yes, very funny. If I'm selling it, it's very funny.
Okay.
It's also very dark. So it's got lots of different things in it. It's got amazing cast. There's lots of young actors in it, some of whom are fresh out of drama school or a few years out of drama school. And they are brilliantly talented, fantastic actors.
Yeah.
So they're really good. They're going to go somewhere, all of them. Come and get them while they're hot.
Okay, get all the phone numbers for me now, Bob.
Gather them now and
pass them on so I can get them before they start winning all the awards. Get them now.
Exactly.
Who's in it with you? There's a few very famous names.
There's some famous people. Well, Glynis Barber, obviously, is in it with us, who I love
Dempsey
very much.
Dempsey
and bloody Makepeace. And it's extraordinary because it's still on telly. Being an actor, obviously, I spend a lot of my time watching daytime television, because you do when you're an actor. And I watch episodes of Dempsey and Makepeace, and I come in and I work with her, and it's great because it's such a brilliant programme. And Michael comes, Michael Brandon, obviously, they're still together, and they come And he comes away on tour with us as well.
I did an interview there during the week, Bob, with a comedian, and she was talking about, she's an American comedian, and she was talking about she came to London to go to drama school, and she wanted to be like a serious, you know, drama actress. And a couple of years into her career, things kind of changed, and she became a mom, and now she's a stay-at-home actress because there's no work for actors.
No, I know. Oh, don't. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Actresses are always better than actors.
A stay-at-home actress. Brilliant.
This is the saddest thing about this profession, is that actresses are far better than actors. A, because they're just actresses and they're brilliant, but also because they have to be, because there's less parts for women. So therefore, they have to be absolutely on it. Men just, you know, get their jobs and it's all fun. But the women, so therefore, and there is a period, people talk about this, lots of actresses I know, including my wife, talk about this, where you get to a point, so you're a young thing and you'll get all those parts, yeah, and then you have children and then you don't work for a bit, and then you come out of that and suddenly you can play mothers and then grandmothers. Women often have a great start, a bit of a quiet middle, and a fantastic end.
It's so weird.
It's a very strange way of
and
saying.
Do you know what's mad? The world has changed so much, like in the last 10 years or so, with everyone going and getting the bloody Botox. You're like, you wouldn't even be able to tell what's happening on somebody's face anymore, because the face is not moving.
I know, I don't. I find it's such a shame because women are amazing, you know, and they always look incredible, and I don't quite know. And then you don't want them all to look the same. All these actresses, you go, oh my God. And you think about, I mean, Glynis is very much, so Glynis Barber is extraordinary because she has all these things on YouTube. She has these podcasty things that she talks about aging, and she talks about how to age gracefully and how to age well. They're brilliant. They're so inspiring. And she's still stunningly beautiful, like she was when she was young, but she hasn't had any Botox.
Yeah.
And I think maybe there might be a backlash. People might go, do you know what? I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I'm not going to. I think it's a very American thing. I mean, there's a lot of American actors who do it.
Bob, I couldn't.
But there
be
are less.
I couldn't.
But you know what?
Bothered.
You don't need it. You don't need it.
Even if
you're
it was
gorgeous.
Free.
You're amazing.
Would you stop? Even if it was free, I couldn't be bothered doing it. I barely wash my face in the morning. Never mind. Go get Botox. This is why I have a career in radio and not in the telly.
No, but isn't that true though? You go, but also once you start, you can't stop.
Yeah, and I feel that actually if you start getting it done, you end up looking older because, yeah, if you don't keep it up.
That's the thing. And you reach a point where you do it too much, and then it just goes a whole other ball game, and you go, it's heartbreaking. It really is heartbreaking.
And actually the great thing about getting older is as well, you know, if you look older than you actually are, you can try and get like the OAP discounts in places like the hardware shop. You can say, is a discount Thursday for the elderly today?
That's brilliant.
Really, look at the bright side.
Exactly. Well, some actresses have got to play people in their 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
But I think that's brilliant. And anyway, you can get a discount. The greatest thing about turning 60 is I now in London, I get a freedom pass.
What's
so
a freedom
I can
pass?
Travel.
You can travel. It's like
a
bus
freedom pass,
is it?
Means, yes, basically, you can travel on the tube and on overground and on the bus free.
At 60?
It costs 30 quid. You pay 30 quid for the year. But so now I can get rid of my Oyster card. I've got a freedom pass. Lived in London for 40 years. Finally, my dream has come true, and I can just travel in London.
Because it's so expensive, isn't it, on the tube? Oh my God.
So, you have no idea. Yeah. So much money I have spent on travel in London, and it's now free.
Over in Ireland now, you have to wait. I think it's 65 until you can get the free bus pass. But as I told you before, Bob, nobody can afford to live in Ireland. I offered you to stay in the box room the last time you were going to get the gate, because I said, the hotels
are too
expensive.
I remember you saying,
I think we're going to have to get the new bed linen out and everything, because Bob is coming over.
I remember that. I love the idea. I was up for that. Totally up for that. The thing is, they put us in, so it's the one place on tour they sort our accommodation out for us, because it's in Ireland. So we get to stay in the Stay City in Dublin, which is extraordinary. We're all together. Yeah, Stay City it's called. You get a bed, you get a bit of a kitchenette. It's complete luxury.
I've never even heard
of
it.
It wouldn't be as lovely as staying with you. That would be amazing, obviously.
I'm not much of an entertainer in terms. I'm not really much of a host. So I'd be saying, "There's the
you're
kettle."
You're a born entertainer.
No, I'd be like, "There's the kettle. Go make your own tea, and you'll have to go to the shop to get bread. I've nothing in."
That's fine. Well, that's fine. I'm used to that.
So you're going to be here only four nights. Is it the 21st to the 25th?
It's four nights.
Of April.
It's 20, we're doing eight shows. So we get a double-double, what we call a double-double, which is two shows on Wednesday, two shows on Thursday, and then obviously two shows on Saturday. Mm. So we do eight shows. But it's, you know, it's a special theatre. We always sell it out, touch wood, which is fantastic. And I mean, we're in Dublin. I mean, I love Dublin. I love Dublin so much. It feels like home to me.
Every time we talk, Bob, we seem to talk when you're in a theatre. Are you actually there to work, or do you just hang around theatres hoping to get a gig?
I hang around theatres. I hang around.
Somebody might be sick.
I would come in early.
I might be the understudy.
I always come in early and I always leave late. Oh. I do. I love theatres. Some people come in absolutely just before they have to. They hate coming to the theatre, but I do. I love theatres. I love theatres. And it means I can sit here and just chat to you, and it's lovely. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Get the Hoover out and clean up the place before all the
audience
come in. That's what I'd be at. Making the most of the time. Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
You would. You'd be doing stuff, you see. I don't. That's the sad thing. I could do things. Becky, my wife always says, what did you get up to in the theatre? What did you do in the theatre? I said, I just lay off. I just sat around.
Sat around on my arse doing nothing.
I didn't really do anything, really. Yeah. I just read a book and sat around. So I'm useless in a theatre.
And come here, when you're not working then, Bob, you mentioned there about you'd spend a lot of time at home. Obviously, a lot of actors do that during the day. Are you sick to your teeth watching TV quiz shows like Tipping Point? It's never off the blooming telly.
I watch old shows like The Sweeney. I love watching The Sweeney because you see actors who you work with since they were young, and you see them all young in The Sweeney, and I text them all and go, just seen you in an episode of The Sweeney, looking dashing and young.
Yeah.
And they're like, don't bloody remind me, don't bloody remind me.
Looking young like there, that. Now look at the state of you. Yeah.
Now look at the state of me.
Every time I go up to my mother-in-law's, it's like she's still living in the 80s, because the TV channels that she watches, it's like reruns of Coronation Street when Elsie Tanner and all were still in it.
Oh,
and I'm going,
the
do you realise there's actually new episodes on every single night?
I know. Are they as good as then? Meg Corey's great, and I've got some great friends who are brilliant actors in it. Like Jane Hazelgrove is amazing.
More numbers, yeah, more Jane numbers. Hazelgrove. Here we come, more guests for the show.
More numbers, come on. More numbers on the phone.
You
on
know.
The phone. But it was incredible in those days with, you know, Elsie Tanner and all the gang. They were incredible.
The viewers,
but I do the same.
Mad. Yeah, mad numbers.
I know, but I listen to music. That's what I mainly do. I listen to music because it's my religion.
Okay, yeah. Now I'm going to ask you now, because we are the home of the 80s and the 90s, I'm going to ask you, what song now, if I was, I'm looking at all my songs here, what song now would you be choosing to play from the 80s and 90s? What would be your kind of thing, or what artist would be your thing?
There's so many. I'm so obsessed with all music, but I'm absolutely obsessed with both the 80s and 90s, but particularly the 80s. I think early 80s pop music was one of the greatest things. Post-punk in the new wave and into early 80s pop music.
Okay, so what artists are we talking?
Right, okay. I'm going to say this because I worship them, and because Dave Ball died last year, and he was obviously one half of Soft Cell. Well, very close, but I'm going to go with the one I saw their last ever gig with my best mate, who comes from Derry, in who is a huge Soft Cell fan called Feeney. We saw their last ever gig. Of course, it wasn't their last ever gig. Because
there's always a comeback.
That's what people do. They go, it's the last of a gig, and then they do another one. But we were at the O2, and it's the song that, I mean, all the songs make me cry, but this makes me, I can barely say the words without wanting to cry. And it's the last track on Nonstop Rosa Cabaret, their first album, and it's Say Hello, Wave Goodbye. And it got to number three. It got to number three. And it's a beautiful, incredible song. It's one of my favourite ever songs. So I'd like that played, if that's possible.
Right. He's looking to unlock this fella. I don't know who he thinks he is. He gets free publicity by coming on the show.
I know.
From his Agatha Christie
play. I got offered a bedroom. I get all sorts.
He just wants everything.
I've given you a terrible diagnosis of your nail.
Of my broken nail.
Which is an appalling diagnosis of your nail.
All we wanted was Derek
and
Thompson's phone
number.
And now
I'm asking for a pop song.
Charlie from Casualty. He hasn't provided that. Says he doesn't
Give
know him
time.
Anymore.
I'm going to get that for you. I'm going to get that.
You're
Promise
useless.
You I'll get that.
Useless. I was just using you for your contacts, Bob, and you haven't gotten the hint.
When I die on my gravestone, it'll be, he was useless, but he was easily pleased. That's what it's going to be on my gravestone.
Oh, Bob.
Oh,
a pleasure, as always, having you on.
It's marvellous. Thank you so much. Thank you for remembering my birthday. That's very kind of you.
And we'll see you soon.